Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and many veterans, as you know, are still at war, bringing new battles with them that can't be seen. After numerous combat awards and 13 years of service in special ops, including time on SEAL Teams 10 and 6, Navy SEAL Marcus Capone retired from active duty in 2013. Like many returning soldiers, he experienced a difficult transition back to civilian life, which included depression, suicidal thoughts, alcohol abuse, and other concerns that were harmful to him and his family. Marcus, together with his wife Amber, who was determined not to become a victim but to pursue victory for her family as well as others who are suffering, started an inspiring organization to help direct this country forward, both in return service for those who have served and for the outlook on mental health treatment. And as we just kind of wind down on National PTSD Awareness Month, we have Amber and Marcus with us here to talk about their nonprofit, VETS, Veterans Exploring Treatment Solutions. Amber and Marcus, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Randy. Great to be on with you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us today.
Hey, Marcus, first of all, take us kind of through your military service, if you will.
Yeah, after college, I spent 13 years on active duty. I went through BUDS, SEAL selection,
right,
in 2001. I spent most of my time deploying to Afghanistan and Iraq with the East Coast SEAL teams. And then the last couple years, we came back out to the West Coast. I was a first phase BUDS instructor. And then I ran CQC, it's Close Quarters Combat, for SEAL qualification training. And that's when the BUDS students finish BUDS, they move over to SEAL qualification training. And so I ran one of those divisions for about a year.
So, Amber, when did you guys get married?
We got married before 9/11 in 2000, and my life shifted practically overnight from being a college student and Marcus's girlfriend to wife, mother, military spouse, and then shortly thereafter, 9/11 occurred. So, of course, just very honored to be able to support Marcus during his time serving the nation, and I think that we were very much in an adaptive type mindset where you don't really have time to think about what the long-term repercussions are from the survival mode that you're in during a time of war.
And did you know that you were marrying such a badass?
Yes.
Well, great.
Well,
yes and no. Yes and no. Marcus is very charismatic and lovable, an athlete, larger than life. I felt like he could do anything, but did I think that he would become a trained killer and a Navy SEAL and go on multiple combat deployments? No, but because I thought he could do anything, I sure wasn't too surprised when he was able to adapt to that.
And Marcus, so talking about your transition, when you came back, as so many do, you kind of slipped into a funk and had to go through that, right?
Yeah. It's weird. You know, when I went to see the psychologist in one of them in about 2010, and he said, you know, Marcus, this is getting really, you know, I don't say it's getting weird, but he just said, you know, you're like the 100th person SEAL that has come to me over the last few months, and you guys are all experiencing the same thing. And these are all active duty, right? So this is I wasn't even out of the military yet. And so, you know, there's obviously that something was going on, whether, you know, it was a mixture of PTSD and traumatic brain injury. And obviously, you know, along that you get, you know, symptoms of depression and anxiety and everything else. And then individuals, of course, are abusing alcohol to, you know, numb, you know, whatever's going on.
Sure.
And then, you know, on top of that, others are coming off of, you know, either surgeries from injuries they sustained overseas in battle or in training. And so, you know, many of those individuals, of course, are put on narcotics. They're put on opioid type medications. And as you know, and as we all know now, there's a very strong physiological addiction to those medications. And so, you know, I was just struggling like everybody else and looking for answers. And I was, you know, prescribed antidepressants I was on antidepressants and mood stabilizers for 7 years straight. And so it was frustrating. Yeah, it was frustrating.
Because that's the first line of defense, right? I mean, that's the first thing they do.
That's traditional approaches to medicine. You know, that's what the doctors know. That's what they were trained for.
Right.
You know, we haven't had technology in almost 35 years when it comes to medications to combat, you know, PTSD and depression.
So, Amber, when Marcus comes back like that, number one, how long did it take you to figure out that something was wrong? And number two, when did you decide to stand firm against that?
Marcus was like the most capable human I'd ever met. He might not like me saying that, but to me, he was Superman. And I saw him trying to work on something that was elusive to him, which was finding peace and stability in his life post-service. He had never been able to, or he had never not been able to achieve a goal that he set out to achieve. And so I thought that this was within his control. I gave a lot of threats, ultimatums, condemnation, criticism during this time, because I thought he's in this funk and he can surely pull himself out. It wasn't until the brain autopsy of one of his former teammates was released within our community that I learned of a condition called interface astroglial scarring, which also had parallels to a condition called CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Many football players are dealing with this after years of concussions and some concussive head trauma. And so at that point, I realized this might not be all psychological and within his control. I think that there is a brain component to this. And so I started getting him into brain clinics. The talk therapy wasn't working. The antidepressants were making things far more complicated. I thought brain centers would be the answer. And they're great for giving diagnostics. They're not so great for long-term follow-up and, you know, what to actually do with what these images
show. Now, wait a minute. Is Marcus receptive to all of this help from you?
Ish. He was putting in the work. You know, of course, you go to the VA and they're like, oh, here's your 10 prescriptions and here's your new therapist. And in a month, that person will be replaced with someone new. And so this is this carousel of never ending misery. So the brain clinic seemed like a new approach, a little bit outside of the box. But it was still in America. It was still doctors with stethoscopes and lab coats and imaging and, you know, things we were used to. With every failed clinic or approach, he was becoming more and more depressed, despondent. For a high performing individual that cannot attain this goal, it's got to be really maddening.
That's got to be so frustrating for you both.
I knew that he was giving up hope. And
I tell you and Amber, I don't mean to cut you off, you're on a roll, but what, do you want to keep going?
No, go ahead.
No, I'm going to say, you know, not that I, of course, didn't see it when I was still on active duty, because I did, obviously. But I remember being out and working I was at a great company and everything was going well. And I got called to do this really cool kind of week-long physical fitness if you want to call it a camp, but it was a couple of former guys that I used to work with in the military, in the SEAL teams, and then a couple of NFL players. And we were, you know, they were getting us together to work out and kind of, you know, team build. And, you know, it was just kind of a fun week that I got to do.
Cool.
And I thought, but this is what happened. The last 2 days, I didn't go. I couldn't go. Like I completely just broke down, for no reason. I was just unable to, you know, I was not functioning at that time. And then I remember the week after going into work and one of the other partners there just said, hey, what's going on? And I just look at him and I broke down and I don't know why. Wow. I don't even know if Amber knows this, but it was for no reason. And I just knew that there's something not right. Like what's going on in my life? What's going on in my head? It's stuff that I couldn't control, which was really frustrating. I'm just really struggling. And so, you know, I was willing to do just about anything because, you know, at this point it was about, you know, I guess it was probably 5 years, 5 or 6 years in, and I wasn't getting better. Sorry about that. I'm out and about. yeah, I just wasn't getting better. So I was looking for any answer. If you told me to tap my head and rub my belly and told me it was going to make
you,
I would have done it at that time. So
we're talking to Amber and Marcus Capone here in the National Defense. They're nonprofit vets, veterans exploring treatment solutions. And this is fascinating to me because a lot of people in that situation, and we talk to them all the time on this show, give up or divorce. They go their separate ways. They just give up on each other. They give up on life. Amber, what was it that inside you and Marcus that made you say, no, we can do something better than this?
Well, for one thing, we're both pretty stubborn and we're not quitters. But what we didn't say is that my dad was Marcus's college football coach, which is how we met. So we share this influence of my dad, who the number one thing he told me when I was growing up, well, there were two things. Number one was listen to your heart. And number two is don't you ever quit anything. And so my heart never told me to leave Marcus. And my heart told me only keep fighting. Even though it didn't seem like there was a logical solution, and it did feel at one point like I had no choice but to quit. And I'd actually told my dad that, you know, it really wasn't quitting. It was just choosing something else. And then I remembered that one of Marcus's friends had been to Mexico and done this crazy treatment that I'd never heard of, made no sense to me. I didn't know what psychedelics were. I didn't know what this compound was, but I knew that I trusted that individual.
This is the psychedelic assisted therapy, right?
Yeah. It's a compound that is readily available in Mexico. It's unregulated there, but it's illegal here. So I had to actually arrange for Marcus to leave the country and go have this experience. I didn't know what it would produce. I just thought maybe it would buy us some time and create a temporary relief in our life so that we could find the next thing that was available in the U.S. Well, come to find out, this plant that's grown in Africa, shipped to Mexico, and administered there in clinics all across the country, saved his life. It changed our lives and the trajectory of our family.
Like immediately?
Exactly what we needed. Immediately. Yeah. Marcus can speak to that better than I can. But yes. Yeah. It was wild.
I mean, what happened when you did that, Marcus?
So, into a whole rant about psychedelics, but what psychedelic therapy does is it gets to the root cause. Psychedelics get to the root cause of issues, so it doesn't put band-aids on symptoms, which antidepressants do. You know, they kind of
dull you down, numb you down.
Yeah, kind of dull you, numb your eye, or whatever. But psychedelics actually get to the root cause of issues, and if it's a psychological issue, it's a lot easier. Obviously, physiological issues, that's a different story. Although, you know, this drug in particular does help the brain physiologically, but you know, I don't want to get too much into that.
Sure.
But let's just talk about, you know, psychological. If you have trauma, when you take the psychedelic under proper supervision with proper guidance and preparatory support from, you know, a therapist, and then the proper integration from the therapist, the drug itself, once you go under and within, you know, an hour or 2 hours, you actually revisit some of the toughest experiences in your life. So if you had tough experiences when you were a child, you're actually going to go revisit that. If you had tough experiences, you know, when you went to war, you revisit that. And the same thing after. And so, the body knows how to heal itself. You know, we know how to heal ourselves. And what psychedelics do, it just allows us to tap into our subconscious and release the if you want to call them the, you know, kind of the chains that have been holding you back.
Wow.
from growing in your life. It's really wild. You know, I can't explain it, you know, as a layman, but, you know, as we all know, the way we act, and especially if it's detrimental or people can notice a certain way that we act, many times those stem from something, right? They started when, you know, your dad yelled at you all the time for touching something or, you know, whatever, right? And so, you know, we've built these into our minds for so many years. Well, the psychedelic kind of goes, it's almost like a heat-seeking missile. It goes right to that point and says, okay, let's deal with that issue that you never dealt with before, because it's obvious that it's affecting you now, and you deal with it. It's really wild how they work. And that's why I think these are going to change the future of mental health care, because, you know, that's what you know, that's what the therapy is trying to get to, right? The therapy is trying to solve the problem. It's trying to figure out, the therapist, what is bogging you down? You know, what was that incident that's causing you to act the way you're doing today? It's the root, right? The psychedelic does that really quickly, right? So it does it in, you know, a few hours, 10 hours, but then you're able to integrate that over the next, let's say, couple of days or weeks. And so it's like taking 5 to 10 years of talk therapy and condensing that into a very short amount of time.
Oh, wow.
But as you can imagine, though, people with a lot of traumas potentially can open up a floodgate of not everybody, is able to handle that. And that's why, you know, it can be very dangerous to do these substances by yourself, especially if there's trauma. Because if you do have trauma and you don't have the support, you could be in a world of hurt, right? And that's what they talk about. Like, you should not be doing these drugs by yourself, right? And that's what happened in the 60s. And then the government stepped in and instituted the Controlled Substances Act in 1970, you know, and it stopped research for all these years. Because, you know, what a lot of people don't know, psychedelic drugs were intended for medicinal application.
Right.
They were just abused as recreational drugs, just like everything, just like opioids you know, Valium and Xanax and all these other things, right? Even alcohol, you know, is supposed to be used in moderation, not, you know, half a gallon a night type of thing. And so we just have to get back there. We have to destigmatize, you know, we have to educate individuals. You know, I wish they had a better name than psychedelics, because it definitely throws up, you know, red flags right away.
Well, what's interesting too, Marcus, just kind of an aside here, I interviewed Kenny Loggins a few months ago. And he has a memoir out. He's very candid about all of his drug use and all of this kind of stuff. The one thing that brought him back, honestly, was psychedelics. He went to an island, and that's when he started his songwriting career. I mean, it just kind of opened things up for him and clarified things. And that it's just amazing to me about how many things can be out there that aren't researched and aren't recommended. Yeah. And, you know, thank goodness for you guys to recognize this and start your nonprofit, VETS, Veterans Exploring Treatment Solutions. And this thing, I mean, this is huge. You guys have raised millions of dollars and are helping so many people.
Thank you. Yeah, it's pretty surreal. I'll tell you, whenever you find yourself in this new war after the war, it really throws you, because I lived for those days. I dreamed about those days when I would have Marcus home and we could be a family. Right. And I actually found myself feeling more comfortable and longing for the days of the war deployments, because I understood that dysfunction and I didn't understand how to live a normal life. And, you know, the post 9/11 era of soldier in particular has given so much of this for this nation, 2 decades of sustained combat. And if you were prime fighting age on 9/11, you find yourself in your mid 40s or early to mid 50s now. You literally have half of your life left to live. And we know that it can be a life lived with meaning and purpose and fulfillment and peace. So how can you not pay that forward to other veterans? We feel like by leveraging the veteran voice, that those that have been through our program and contributing to scientific research, we can really go a long way in changing laws in the U.S. that would allow our veterans to access these therapies right here within the borders of this nation that they were willing to die for. So we're standing in the gap. It's an honor to do it. The stories that we're seeing are absolutely miraculous. Wow. And I'm so delighted and honored to say that it's not just our family that has experienced this. It is hundreds of families as well.
And I keep hearing that the name VETS, and then I remembered, I know that name because that donation from the Survivor winner, right?
Yes, Mike Gabler. Oh my gosh, he's the best. We just spent some time with him last week.
I mean, he donated his entire winnings to you guys, I think.
Not the entire. The $1 million that he won, the Survivor, he gave to 10 veteran organizations.
Okay.
So we were one of them.
I got
But
you.
His father was an Army Green Beret. So he understands what it's like. You know, he understands these struggles intimately, and just, man, so much respect for him.
Well, thank you guys so much for sharing that story. That it's some incredibly important work you're doing. What's the best way for people to find out more about your organization?
Our website has the most info, which is vetsolutions.org, including a link for all of our podcasts and media hits. And very, very grateful for the opportunity to be on your show today.
Oh, man, it's our honor. Thank you guys so much. And just continue the great work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.